Good evening. I'm getting my, Ken always makes fun of us for having our technology instead of our Bibles. But really, so I got my Bible here. I got my notes here, so we should be ready to roll. All right, so good afternoon. My name is Ryan Coleman, if you guys don't know who I am. I want to thank Eric, I didn't see Eric tonight, for having me come up and talk to you guys tonight. And I felt like when it was like 1 or 2 this afternoon, I felt like texting him and being like, hey man, I'm feeling sick, I don't know if I'm going to make it tonight, but I figured that I'd let him off the hook tonight. Also, I have to apologize to you guys beforehand, and I'm a high school teacher, and so I apologize to my kids at the very beginning of the year because I have what my kids call a monotone voice. I don't know what that is, but they always, once they start getting comfortable with me, they're like, I never know when you're telling a joke or when you're being serious because your voice never fluctuates. And so hopefully we'll be all right tonight, not keep you, or we'll keep you awake. Also, and Eric talked about this, try and keep this a discussion class, so I'm going to have questions. And so I already told Brian Lee, if there's a lull and nobody asks a question, he's on the clock. So he's ready to roll. All right, tonight's lesson is dealing with temptations. And so we're seeing a study here following the example of Jesus and learning to live how he would have us live. And so with temptations, we're going to sort of play a little game. And I want to see if anybody can tell me some of the temptations that either you have or that you think are some of the tough temptations that we face today out in the world. I have a survey, so if you get like in the top three, you get a high five. What are some of the temptations that we see out there today? Good. Pornography, okay. And on the survey was, or sexually explicit material. Yes, Gary. Trying to be like everybody else. With that's a good point with internet and TV, and I see it at the high school level so much that they see how all those people act, and it's like they want to be like those people. We see the reality TV shows. What else? Good, materialism. Okay, good. Any other guesses? Good. Okay, so I got this study, and it was from 2011 on Christianity Today, their website, and it tracked the top temptations Americans face. The people surveyed said they struggled with the following temptations either often or sometimes. The top one was worrying or being anxious, which was 60%. The next one was procrastinating or putting things off. Eating too much, spending too much time on media, and then going through and viewing the media, and like we heard, trying to be like the people that are on the media, spending more money than they could afford, gossiping about others, being jealous or envious of others, viewing pornography or sexually explicit material, and abusing alcohol or drugs. And so as I was going through, I thought of some of the things that you guys were saying. And but then I came up to things like gossiping about others. I never really thought about going through and doing that, but when I'm tempted sometimes at school, we go through and the teachers have to be in the hallways between passing periods, and the teachers will start getting talking, and I don't feel like I'm a person to go through and start gossiping, but if somebody goes through and starts saying something and tempts me, okay, I might go through and add in something here or there. And so that didn't hit me off when I was thinking about it, but when I saw this and thought about it a little bit more, when I am tempted, I do participate in that. And then the survey went on to ask, say, when asked if they try to do anything specific to avoid giving into a temptation, 41% said yes and 59% said no. And when they were asked why they would give into temptations, the top four reasons were 50% said they're not really sure, 20% to escape or get away from real life, to feel less pain or loneliness was 8%, and then 7% was to satisfy other people's expectations of me. And I think dealing with the high school kids, we really see, I see that a lot, dealing with other people's perceptions of them, and they're going through and being tempted and going through and acting in ways that they don't, that they wouldn't normally do. The same thing with me. I think sometimes I'm tempted and I go through and act other ways, sometimes when I'm around a group of people that I really shouldn't be acting. So what we're going to talk about, we said, is the temptations, or dealing with temptations. And so what we want to go through and do is we're going to look at several passages in the Bible of temptations of Jesus in the wilderness and how he went through and handled it. So our first section is going to be Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 through 11. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 through 11. Starting in verse 1, it says, "Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, 'If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread.' Jesus answered, 'It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God.' Then the devil took him to the Holy Spirit, to the holy city, and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. 'If you are the Son of God,' he said, 'throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone.' Jesus answered him, 'It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test.' Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in their splendor. 'All this I will give you,' he said, 'if you will bow down and worship me.' And Jesus said to him, 'Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only.' Then the devil left him, and the angels came and attended him." And so what we see here is Jesus going through and being tempted in the desert, okay? And the desert, I mean, the devil goes through and tempts Jesus, okay? And Jesus comes back and has remarks. So as we go through and we see that, Jesus' remarks are referring to what, or what's he coming back to the devil with? What? Doctrine, okay? From Scripture, right? So he's going through and quoting Scripture from the Old Testament, okay? And so that's how, when Jesus was tempted, he's going through and combating these temptations. Let's go through, and we're going to look at the three different verses. The next verse is going to be in Mark chapter 1, verse 12. Mark chapter 1, verse 12. "At once the Spirit sent him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days being tempted by Satan. He was with the animals, and the angels attended him." Okay, so in Mark's version, we see a few other things that happened. Okay, he was with the wild animals. And then our third verse will come from Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, verse 1 through 13. And Luke has some good perspectives on it that the other authors didn't have, and we'll talk about that after we go through and read this. So Luke 4, verse 1, "Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those 40 days, and at the end of them he was hungry. The devil said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread.' Jesus answered, 'It is written, man shall not live on bread alone.' The devil led him up to the high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, 'I will give you all their authority and splendor. It has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. If you worship me, it will be all yours.' Jesus answered, 'It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only.' The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against the stone. Jesus answered, it is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test. When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. Okay, and so, again, we see the same story here in Luke that we see in Matthew. Okay, but Luke gives us some different perspectives. If you look back in verse 1, some of the things that stood out to me where right after Jesus, it says what? He was full of the Spirit, right? Okay, and in Matthew, it didn't have that, but to me, that's pretty cool that Jesus himself was full of the Spirit, okay, just like we should be full of the Spirit, okay, filling ourselves up consistently in the Word, continuing to study, okay, to make sure that Holy Spirit, okay, is working within us and that we have the knowledge to go through and use the tools that God has given us. Also, if we look in verse 13 says, when the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. Okay, so the second part of that really struck me. He left Jesus until an opportune time. So Jesus, or the devil, is going to come tempt you, okay, at the opportune time when you're at your weakest. Okay, he's going to try and get you. Okay, so what types of things do you do or can you do to go through and make sure when you're at the weakest that the devil's not going to be able to persuade you? Keep reading, okay? Going through, and Ken's really been preaching that. Do your daily Bible reading, okay? Staying in the Word. What else? Right. 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 Yep. That's a great point. We're not going to be able to see temptation, and sometimes we won't know that we've been tempted until it's too late. So if we ask Jesus and pray for him to show us those things so that we know that it's the devil that's tempting us before it's too late, okay, those things will become visible to us and we'll be able to see those things out. Right, that's a great point. Avoid temptation, so don't put yourself in those situations, and it makes it a lot easier to go through and avoid those things when you're not putting yourself in those situations. Yeah, that's a great point. Do you have something, Dan?
Going to be
That's a great point. And you always want to go through and be doing positive things. And the more you can do to put yourself in positive situations and doing positive things, the better off you'll be. One thing that we did is, and you see it all the time, I mean, I can't even watch a football game on TV anymore, and there's commercials on there that I can't even sit down and watch football with my son because I'm having to switch to channels during commercials because they're just bad. There's either guys, and Jackson gets way too in the fighting mode and everything, so if he sees any violence on TV, he's like all over it, so... I got to be careful about that. Otherwise, he's taking out his shooter guns and going after it. So, but that's a good point. We went through and we decided to go through and cut cable, and that was probably one of the best things for us to go through and do. And at first, it sort of killed me because I'm used to be a coach, athlete, and watching all the sports and all that stuff. I'm like, man, I'm not going to get my sports center. I'm not going to get my games. And I still get those because I have ABC and CBS and stuff like that. So I can't say that I totally went off and did it all and cut it all out. But now at night I have time where there's nothing, there's downtime, and there's nothing else to do but go through and study or hang out with my wife and play games. And so it's really been good to cut that temptation out and really go through and fill yourself with positive things. And it's really made a difference this year in my life. All right, so continuing on before we get too far off track. Yes, sir. That's good. And so he ran to what? He ran away to get away from all the temptation and away from everything. Right. And he left the cloak, and then she was trying to say that he left his clothes in there, but he got out of there as quick as he could and got out of the situation. All right, let's look at Genesis chapter 3, verses 6 to 7. So we're going to go through and look at, we've looked at Jesus being tempted in the desert. We're going to look at Adam and Eve and the temptation that happened in Genesis 3 with the fruit of the tree. So Genesis 3, verse 6 and 7. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. All right, so here we see a situation where Adam and Eve went through and were tempted, okay, and they gave in to the temptation. All right, so what do you think happened here? What's different in this situation than Jesus' situation of being tempted out in the desert with the devil? Easy, you're going to get me in trouble. Dan said that, not me. But we see Adam and Eve go through and they're tempted and they go through and eat the fruit. Okay, and it doesn't say anything about it ever crossing their minds of thinking back to Scripture, thinking back to what God told them. They went through and followed the temptation and just did what they thought would feel good, right? And so it sort of goes back to Jesus being up on the temple that he was looking down, okay, and the devil was saying that he would give him all of those things if he would follow him. And so Jesus was strong enough. He was full of the Holy Spirit, and he said he didn't want to take those things. Okay, and he stood up to the devil, and he went through and said that he should only follow God and God alone. Let's look at 1 John chapter 2 now. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. All right, 1 John chapter 2. Do not love the word, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of the life comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. All right, and so we go through and we see here that everything that the world is showing us, okay, is no good. We have to go through and not love the world, okay, and put things in our mind, like Dan said, that are positive, because the things of the world, and they say in here, again, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world. Okay, and so what does it mean there where it's talking about pride of life? The pride of life. Brian, your clock's ticking. Right. That it's all about you, right? Okay? And we know and we've heard that it's not about us. Okay? It's about laying down our desires for the betterment of others, right? And then on verse 17 it says, the world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. And so I'm going through and I'm thinking about all the temptations, and I'm thinking about it the other night, and I'm thinking, man, we have all these temptations, and we know that the Bible says if you just put those temptations away and do all the things it says in the Bible, that you'll live for eternity in heaven. Okay, but why do we go through and we still want to chase those temptations or go through and do the things that God says not to do? That's right. Right. And my son's a good example of that. Man, he likes to walk that line and get as close as he can to touching that pan when it's burning hot, and we told him not to touch it. I'm sure some of you guys have been there. And he likes to go through, and we were riding the bike yesterday, and he likes to try and get as dangerous as he can before falling off. And then he falls off, and he gets right back on and does the same thing. But and he doesn't learn his lesson, sort of like how we go through and we go through and tiptoe that line sometimes and don't learn our lesson. But it's just we're gone through and we need to make sure. Comment? No, you got it. I was just stumbling. Right. And the family camp that we had this summer was focused on a book called Radical. And so what we were trying to convey there was living a radical life and getting rid of all those extra things that are cluttering up our lives and getting back to the basics of what God wants us to do and getting into the Word and making sure that we're doing things that are positive all the time. and we talked about the daily Bible reading. She mentioned going through and what we listen to and what we watch. I can't remember who it was, but when we have our Sunday morning classes with the 20s and 30s class, somebody was counseling with a young gentleman, and he was always having, like, anger issues and things like that, and they couldn't figure out why he was so angry all the time. And he would go through and go to work, I think it was, but he would go through and listen to music that was, like, hard rock. The lyrics weren't very good, and they went through and they talked about what he was listening to, and he changed what he was listening to, and the impact that it made in his life was tremendous. And so I look back at when I was in high school and college, and you don't think that stuff affects you, going through and listening to it or listening to sports radio or things like that, but you have people in there that are bringing in things that aren't positive. And if you go through and you continue to put things in your life that are positive, those positive thoughts are constantly going through your head, and you're taking yourself out of that situation and not being tempted. All right, let's see. My next question. Yes. Yep, and I think, especially for me, he goes through and makes me or puts that fear in me that I can't be that leader like your daughter was to go through and step up and do it because I'm going to have things like people making fun of me or talking about things like, oh, that guy's too religious or stuff like that. But we need to be that leader. I have kids in my classroom that they're the athletes or the popular kids. And if in my classes they go through and are the jokesters, that class in turn is just going to go through and be a mess because of the leaders that they're being, and people look to them, and they just get the class off topic. And so if you go through and be the leader and make that decision to get up and leave or leave that situation, there's people in there probably, like in her situation, that were going through and thinking those same exact things, but they never had the courage just to stand up and get up and leave. And so people are probably thinking that, they just don't do it. And so we need to make sure that we're leaders, okay, and being the examples that we need to be so that we're not bringing other people down or putting them in temptations to put themselves in bad situations. All right, let's look at, I'm going to skip over to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, verse 12. Actually, I'm going to go to Luke 8, verse 11. This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing they fall away. The seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a good crop. So I want to go back in on the second half of verse 14. It says, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures. And so we saw that sort of in the study, and what we talked about are the temptations. We let those temptations get in the way, and the devil is able to go through and lead us astray. Okay, and it also says that when those things happen and we follow our those worries and riches and pleasures, okay, that those people are not going to mature. And then on 15 it says, but the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word. Okay, so they hear it first, they retain it, okay, and by doing that they'll go through and produce a crop. And so our job is to make sure that we're hearing the word, retaining it, okay, and do it over and over. And when I was talking to Ken the other night, we were talking about going through and doing things three times, repetitions. Sometimes it takes a third time before it really sinks in and you gain a clear understanding of what the word is saying. So, for example, you might go through and it might take you the third year on the Bible, on your Bible reading, to get it to really sink in on things that you're reading. And I was talking to him about when I'm doing my studying, that Old Testament sometimes just bogs me down. Okay, I don't know if any of you guys get there, but man, some of those chapters and books are just like, man, get me through this, and I find myself falling asleep, and I gotta get up and walk around so I can wake myself up. But it's funny because as I go through and read it, some of the things that I don't feel like I'm picking up come back up later on, and I remember those things. And so if you just go through and push through and get it, okay, God's putting it there on your heart. If you're giving him the time to go through and study it, he's putting it there on your heart so that when things come up, you remember those things. Even though, for me, I might not remember them right then, there's been times where weeks later or a month later, it comes up in my head, and I'm like, man, where did I get that from? I must have, and then I go back and look, and I did read it. All right, let's look at Hebrews. Yes, sir. Uh-huh. Yes, worrying. And worrying specifically about, what did you say? I missed it. Worries of life. And let's see. We have a verse here. I'm going to have to skip down since we're getting late to, or with class almost ending. But we have verses in the Bible that go through and talk about God not giving us more than we can handle. And so we should know that we should never have to worry. Okay, I find myself worrying, especially when am I going through and teaching the kids the right things? Am I going to go through and have the lessons to make them better business professionals? And I don't need to be worrying about those things because I know God's not going to give me too many things to handle, okay? Or if I go through and I have too many classes to teach for the year, okay? I know that God can go through and take me through those things or struggles that I'm having. And so it tells us that in the Bible, and we shouldn't go through and worry about those things because we know by reading the Bible that God has our back, okay, and he's going to be going through and making sure that we get through all of our struggles. All right, so I'm going to skip down real quick. We're going to get into James chapter 1 and hopefully finish this up. before the time runs out. All right, James chapter 1, verse 13. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by the devil, by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then, after desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. All right, so we see there that God isn't tempting us, okay? And God isn't going to go through and be tempted by evil, nor is he going to go through and tempt anyone, okay? So who's tempting us? Satan, okay? Not God, okay? Let's run into 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. Okay, so this verse is what I was referring to earlier. Okay, he's not going to let us be tempted beyond what we can bear. Okay, and he's also can provide us a way out. So you know in those trials and temptations that you're facing, okay, that there's going to be a light at the end of the tunnel, and you just have to push through it and know that God's going to be there. Okay, and again, you may go through and get depressed, okay, but if you're going through and you're meeting with the body, okay, we're here to go through and build people up. Okay, so meeting with the body helps, okay, and being in the Word. Do you have a comment, Dan? No, you're good.
But I'd like to propose this, and that is, even though God does not tempt, temptation is a part, or he allows temptation, I believe, as a part of his plan or his purpose for this reason. And first of all, Jesus said very to the point, temptations must come, or it is necessary that temptations come. That's in Matthew 18, 7. And I think there's a purpose for this, or at least to the extent of my incomplete thinking right now, is if we want to build our bodies up, we got to work at it. We can't sit down in front of the TV and drink our muscle milk and build bulk up. It ain't going to happen. We have to work at it and work our tail ends off at it to get there. And maybe fail a few times. But at the same time, I'm thinking that, at least from personal experience, that we don't really become stronger spiritually until we have really, at the gut level, been faced with having to contend with temptations. Maybe falling on our faces a few times, but as we learn to overcome them, that's when we start, God grows, starts growing, really growing spiritually.
Right, and when we go through, one thing that I've really noticed too is as you go through and build your muscles up, okay, from your muscle class that we had on Wednesday nights, okay, can you go through and do everything that you want to do and then go through and build up your muscles? No, right? You have to go through. It's like an athlete. An athlete can't go through and continually improve and be in their best shape if they're going through and partying all the time and then coming and trying to go through and do their basketball or baseball or whatever they're competing in. Just like we can't go through and have everything that we want over here and then going through and getting the Bible and say, all right, I'm going to get strong in the Lord, okay? Because we have to put all that stuff away and to the side and leave it there, okay, in order to strengthen ourselves in the Lord. All right, so we're going to leave with this verse in 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 10. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. And so, man, that's just a great verse right there, or verses, to go through and leave with tonight, to really think of. Well, let's see, on verse 6 it says, I need to go through and humble myself first and leave that pride at the door and know that God's mighty hand is going to lift me up in due time, and know that he's going to provide us a way out. Okay, and so when we're being tempted, know that we'll just push through, okay, and that light's going to be there at the end, okay? But what things do we have to make sure that we're making ourselves available for? In verse 8, what does it say? There's two things. Be alert, and what else? Okay, be of sober mind, okay? So we need to make sure that we're alert. Okay, make sure that we're taking care of ourselves, getting enough sleep so that we're alert and ready to go, and make sure that we're of sober mind, okay? Because, and we've heard it before from other people tonight, the enemy, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion, and he's coming in with temptations, okay? And it's not always coming in the same way, okay? And we've heard from Richard, go through and pray about it, okay? Make sure that you're praying, okay? And that'll help you through it. Any other comments? Hopefully I didn't put anybody to sleep. All right. Thank you guys for coming tonight, and thanks for having me. Brian, I'm disappointed you didn't come through in the clutch.